Talk Radio.
Publishing Radio, and this is your host, Teresa Banks. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's show. I have to also say happy Veterans Day to all of our soldiers, all of our wonderful men and women that constantly do all they can through service and sacrifice on behalf of our country. Today's show is dedicated to you, and I want to pause for just a moment and give all of you a huge round of applause. Now, I started off today's show by playing some wonderful music by Larry Hill Taylor. That song was called Tell Me Baby, and I have a talented guest who's on the line and waiting. I'm going to introduce her now. Her name is Bonnie McEwen. She is a blues pianist, the co-author of Stepson of the Blues, a brand new book that was just released, and she is also the creator of the Chicago School of the Blues. So welcome to the show, Bonnie, and how are you today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day, Teresa, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
You are very welcome, and I have to ask, now, what made you get into blues? There's so many genres of music, so why blues?
I guess when I was growing up in the 60s, that music made a big impression on me. Blues and soul and African-American music in general was very strong at that time. There was some wonderful jazz coming out, and when I was in college, there was a very active group of black students who were very happy for the rest of us who were in a huge majority, and they were in a small minority because it was West Virginia. They were very interested in having the rest of us learn what they already knew. And then later, many years later, when I lost my job, I realized that this music could be a big source of support and healing just to listen, and I already knew how to play the piano, so I decided to learn how to play the blues.
Wow.
Well, there the story starts, because when I got into the blues, I got into, like, I want to do this professionally, and I thought, well, this was a very, orderly setup that white people who studied the blues were always going to be welcomed as musicians, but we would always be understudies to the great African-American blues men and women who should receive top billing at all the festivals and be paid the biggest money, but there would be room for everyone. Well, that was sort of an idealistic conception. What I found out was that the current generation of African-American blues men and women is not really being allowed to rise. In other words, the tradition isn't being passed on as it was when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. And I know you were saying you've played the piano before. Were you in a band years ago or currently?
No, not really. I played a little folk guitar. I played in, you know, I just played for my family, and I was a song leader at the campfire and things like that. I never did it professionally. Not even, I didn't even have a little rock band or anything. No, that was later.
Oh, wow. And I know you said you came here to Chicago, and Chicago has held on to its blues fest, thank goodness. And what made you target Chicago? I'm always curious on why people go from one particular city or state to another.
Because Chicago is the capital of the blues, and it's the center of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the city doesn't really totally appreciate what an advantage that is. Just like New Orleans, they you know, everybody knows that's the birthplace of jazz and traditional jazz, and people go there for that. But Chicago does not promote the blues, and they have a whole lot of talented blues men and women who are underemployed and could really be helpful in promoting the city. And they could really be helpful, this is what I'm finding out now, in terms of helping to solve some of the problems in the inner city in terms of people, young people growing up with lack of roots, lack of respect, so forth and so on. This music of an older generation is so groovy that if you introduce it to a kid, that maybe they're just maybe 7 to 10, that age group is very open to learning new things and old things too. And my experience has been taking blues musicians into schools, the kids really respond to them. They're role models. They're big guys and gals who play instruments, and a lot of kids haven't really had a chance to be exposed to instruments because a lot of schools no longer have music programs.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken art, music, and phys ed out of schools, and they're wondering why the kids are misbehaving. They have no outlet for their energy.
That is so true, and I love the way that you put it out there on your website, and I believe I read also on Amazon.com that you have great concern that, you know, with the music, especially with blues, it could become extinct, and that had kind of led into co-authoring the book, Stepson of the Blues. So what is this book about? What do you hope that it's going to do as far as the kids or adults and passing on the blues from one generation to the next?
Well, the piece of music that you all heard, if you were here for the opening of the show, is called Tell Me Baby, and that was Larry's own song. It was based on the Howlin' Wolf Smokestack Lightning riff. Wolf was the patron saint of the West Side. Of course, he played everywhere, South Side, suburbs too, but he really had a lot of fans on the West Side, and Larry grew up hearing Howlin' Wolf. In fact, Howlin' Wolf came to his parents' house when he was a youngster, and he never forgot Howlin' Wolf. And he wants to make sure that his history is not forgotten. He and I share an interest in history, and that's how we kind of met, because he liked my traditional piano style, which you heard, the piano, that tinkling piano at the top of the scale. That song was me. Roosevelt Purefoy, the Mad Hatter, was on organ in that song. And he is a wonderful piano player and organist, and I just added a little bit of ice cream there at the top. But anyway, Larry liked the old style because it's going, that old-fashioned style in the black community is not found as often as it could be either. And so I, you know, got tapped to play that.
And, you know, I was reading on the website Stepson of the Blues information on the chapters. I mean, there's so much being covered, so much, as you said, the history of blues and Larry's life. Did you find it was emotionally challenging for you to capture all that and put it into words and edit it and put it together?
Well, I am a professional journalist. That was my original profession. So I'm trained to help people tell their story. But no, nothing prepared me for being a middle-class white person trying to tell the story. It's just, I mean, you know, my friends read the book and they said, we did not know what black people go through, especially young black boys growing up. we did not have any idea what it's like. And so, you know, I think that if they say that, then we succeeded in telling the story. We also hope for the Black community that the story is meaningful to validate some of the experiences that a lot of people have. Larry grew up in the Lawndale neighborhood during the 60s. Martin Luther King had his headquarters there during that campaign that he was trying to do something about housing discrimination. The Black Panthers had their headquarters. In fact, Larry followed Fred Hampton around. He learned a lot from Fred Hampton. This stuff is so important, and if we don't look at the current generation of blues men and women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, a whole story can be lost as well as the music.
You're definitely right about that. And I know I learned just from working, period, that you really have to explore each other's culture. You know, we all have to look at what do we have to share and step outside of our boundaries, our neighborhoods, to see what the lives of others is truly like. And I believe it was on your webpage or at the Stepson of the Blues site where I saw that you've gone to the neighborhoods. I saw pictures of you in Hyde Park. Have you also gone to the West Side areas too?
I lived on the West Side for almost two years.
Oh, wow.
Upstairs from Larry's family. And, yeah, I lived at Division in Laramie. Yeah, right in the ghetto. And everybody was nice to me. I mean, yes, my piano got stolen one time.
right.
You know, if people, what's really a shame is that they say, well, you're white, you really won't have any problem. But the problem is between them, and the problem is in the Black community because of a long history of trauma that was inflicted by slave owners. And this trauma gets passed down. I think we all realize now what the psychology of child abuse is, that if this happened to you, then you unconsciously repeat the behavior that was done to you. And so all through the history, 400 years of this, it just gets more and more complicated unless people make a conscious effort to get out of it. And Larry is trying to do that. He's trying to break the cycle. He is encouraging his kids to get their education and to succeed. But when you're surrounded by gangs and there's not very many jobs and, it's easy money and all this stuff is out on the street in front of them every single day. And in the white middle class, we don't see it every single day like that. We're not surrounded by it. It's very easy to look down on people when you're not surrounded and besieged by the problems you're at your doorstep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're one who's comfortable and able to afford the opportunity to be in a neighborhood where you have good schools, you are around neighbors that are looking out for one another, there's a huge difference there from if you grew up on a block where corner to corner you are passing by drugs or gangs, and that's what you see, and that becomes your role model. And especially if your education is lacking and you don't have, let's say, you know, a high school degree, or you haven't gone beyond that to further your education, your opportunities, your chance of success really becomes limited. And that's why I really like the things that you're doing to not only in co-authoring this book, but in trying to pass the blues down to young people. Like, you started the Chicago School of Blues. Where is that located here in the city?
Oh, it's not a building right now. It's just, if you know how they talk about the schools of art, like somebody's school of painting, the impressionistic school of painting, right now it's basically a thing that goes from place to place. It doesn't have a building, and I don't think it really needs one. What it is basically a program. It's for after school or school assembly or classroom workshop where we bring musicians to show the kids the heritage, the art of the blues, and to help them. What I do is I give lessons on how to sing your own blues tune. Any kid that really can make up their own blues tune, because blues is such a wonderfully simple art. The dog ate my homework, please have mercy on me. You know, anybody can write a blues tune. And if you can sing your own story, even if it's real short, or you can make more verses and make it long, and then you share your story in your song, then your classmates can sing along with you. Somehow life doesn't seem so bad if you can share those things. And the joys of life, blues is not just sad, it's life. You know, blues is the facts of life, like Fruitland Jackson, who is a very esteemed blues teacher, likes to say, blues is the facts of life. And Willie Dixon said, blues is the root. All the other musics are the fruit. Blues started in the South. You know, people sang blues to keep the blues away, basically. They had all these hours of working in the fields, and, you know, they were treated unfairly by the white bosses, and they had troubles among themselves in terms of families breaking up, and some people had to move from place to place because of the working conditions. And so they sang together, and church was one way people sang together, and blues was another way. It was more like the everyday personal problems. You were allowed to talk about things that were maybe, you know, a little bit, you know, in terms of sexual and things like that, but it wasn't blatant like some of the stuff on the radio now. It was very kind of sly and clever, and there was an art to being sly and clever about it. There was also a lot of blues songs about the boss, like Big Boss Man, you know, can you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you're just tall, that's all. And Jimmy Reed used to sing that one.
Well, that one is just too cool. So I'll have to listen to that. I'll track it down and listen to it. And when you're talking, as you're talking to our young people, I mean, as we know, it looks like they're kind of headed the route of hip-hop. That seems to be their type of music of choice. So how do you convince them that, you know, the blues is healing, that the blues has a lot to offer, not only from the generations and the historical side of it, but almost the healing for the soul? How do you get them interested in it?
Well, you just do it, because a lot of them haven't heard it. And if you aren't exposed to something, you know, because we don't have a very good radio situation here. We don't have radio stations that play blues, jazz, and things like that for people all day long. We need those kind of stations in the city. So they don't really get exposed to it. So once you bring these musicians in and they're playing in front of these kids, the kids go, wow, what is this? And some of the kids are very perceptive. In fact, one second grader said, this music is relaxing.
Wow.
And they're capable of liking more than one kind of music. And, in fact, sometimes they will get up and rap hip-hop rhymes between the blues verses. So we kind of meet in the middle with generations, you know, the style of rap that originated actually with people like Cab Calloway. You know, there's always been rap in a way. So because they both depend on a beat, you know, you can kind of get a groove, and the kids will get in front of you and start to rap in the groove. And the main thing is to direct the nature of the hip-hop. You know, you have positive hip-hop and not so positive. So that becomes a teacher's job then, to direct that energy into positive expression rather than negative.
And what's the age group that you've targeted the Chicago School of the Blues for?
We're hoping that eventually we'll be able to do all ages, but right now we're having the most success with grade school kids, ages 6 through 11, 12. Maybe after they get introduced to it and then they become teenagers, we'll be able to also work with teenagers. If we have teenagers who already play an instrument, then that's a group we'd like to work with as well, because we can train them in terms of the blues patterns.
And then if someone has a youngster who's in that age range, how would they find out more about what's offered, what events are coming up? How would they learn about it?
Well, we have a website, chicagoschoolofblues.org. And right now what we're interested in getting is we're interested in finding after-school programs and teachers who would like to try out our program. We might be able to do just an hour-long assembly for you. We might want to do, you know, maybe a four-day program, either 4 days 1 week or 4 weeks or something. And we've got funders who are really looking at this through the Final Feliz Foundation, which is a foundation that the leader is a dancer by the name of Taj, Miss Taj, like in Taj Mahal, and she has taken an interest in this. She's an African-American with roots and family background that goes into a lot of different cultures, and she's traveled around the world showing people how to dance and bring out their spiritual nature through movement. So we're also hoping to show the kids when they start to dance, you know, okay, how do we dance to the blues? How do we channel our energy? And she's really interested in kids, helping kids find themselves and become citizens through discovering themselves through music, the sound and the movement of music. So we're looking for places to do our thing. And we, you know, if we get people interested, the more people are interested, then the more chances we can get for money to fund this.
Well, I tell you, I am just so proud of all you're doing, especially to help young people, because, you know, you just get sick to your stomach. Year after year in the Chicagoland area, we hear of these crazy numbers, especially over the summer, of our young people losing their lives or being seriously injured with either gun violence or gang violence, and they need other avenues, as you said, to channel their energies, to learn of other things that are out there. We can't just let our generations go on years, you know, as they go by, and our young people just wind up killing each other. So I think what you're doing, all this great work you're doing, and especially through the book, Stepson of the Blues, it's truly going to make a difference in the lives of our kids. I wish we could just pull them all in to your program or pull them all off the street. And what you said also in regards to the radio stations, you know, being a little bit more narrow-minded and not selecting the blues the way that they should, I tell you, it's just been crazy. So do you find that blues singers then have to depend on satellite radio to be heard or just clubs to be heard?
Yeah, well, there just aren't very many places to be heard. But, you know, Larry's not even willing to go out and play for no money. That's a big issue with him. He makes a very strong statement in terms of that the music was here, but it got ripped off. And it got ripped off by people that we all like to listen to, or let's say agents of people that we all like to listen to, like, for example, you know, rock and roll, Elvis Presley. Well, Elvis didn't start rock and roll. It was black musicians who started rock and roll, like Bo Diddley and Ike Turner and Fats Domino and Jimmy Reed. They started the rock and roll. So the problem is, yes, it's in the business. The radio stations aren't playing the original origin of some of the most popular music that we all know about. And the clubs that, you know, they're sort of like the clubs that people come up through in the neighborhood. The city has not really encouraged these clubs. They've a lot of licensing requirements and a lot of inspections, but there are still a few out there. So the musicians generally gravitate towards some of these clubs on the south and west side, and that's where I go play. If I want to play, you know, real blues and learn something, I go to Rooster's Palace on the west side. And there are other places like Lee's Unleaded on the south side, Good Times Lounge. There are other little holes in the wall, and that's where it's really happening. The north side clubs, the musicians there are not well paid, unfortunately, although tourists pay $10 to $15 at the door. When I used to do that, I go, oh, well, my money's going to musicians. I don't mind paying that when I was a tourist. And then I come to find out that they're being grossly underpaid. That wasn't always the case. During the 70s and 80s and 90s, they were paying well, and the musicians enjoyed playing. And now it's just sort of like everybody's grabbing for the last dime or something, and there's a lot of resentment between the club owners and musicians. They play, but they're not, their heart isn't in it, and so the music is good. Maybe I shouldn't go into all this, but we do go into it in the book, so if people want to read more about it, stepsonoftheblues.com, that's our website. You can order it online from us or from Amazon, and during the month of February, we're going to be giving some library talks all over the city and in suburbs. So look for us at a library near you. If you have someone out there has a club or a community group that you would like a speaker, we would love to come and talk with you. We might even play a couple blues tunes during the talk and read from the book. So we're here, we're out here doing the thing and spreading the word.
Well, I tell you, Bonnie, you are truly doing great things, and all that you mentioned is so true. You know, you hear of the stories, you see of the situations where people aren't getting the credit that they deserve. They're not being acknowledged the way that they should. A lot of times they're not getting the voice out. They don't have the capital, the money that it takes to really get the information out about their songs or about what they're doing, and that just adds to so much frustration, because you know you've got, for example, a great song or, let's say, a wonderful book, and then how do you get that into the light where the public knows about it? And it's all about the capital. And then sometimes, you know, as you're singing a great tune, like you said, with Elvis Presley and some of the other great artists, you know, someone else could easily hear it. They have the funds to push it out there, the agent or whatever, and it gets out there. So I tell you, you are truly doing some great things. And is it through the website, Stepson of the Blues? Is that the best way? I should say stepsonoftheblues.com. Is that the best way to either reach you or Larry or to find out more about the book or order the book or the CDs? Is that the best way? Or is there an email or phone number or any other contact information you want to give out?
Yeah, the website's the best. It's also at 57th Street Books right now. It's on sale in Hyde Park. So if you want to just pick up a physical book without dealing with the web, you can go, you know, to 57th Street Books at Hyde Park. They're on sale. And you can get them at stepsonoftheblues.com. All of our contact information is on there. If you should want to hire Larry's band, or, you know, it links to my website, barrelhousebonnie.com. And, of course, a barrel house was an old-fashioned juke joint, so I called myself Barrel House Bonnie because of the old-fashioned style I play. So I'm out there at that website, too. And I really appreciate, Teresa, being able to be on this show, because, like you said, if you don't have the money to promote yourself commercially in a big scale, it's very hard. And these Internet shows are a big help, where people can talk back and forth and be part of the dialogue. So hopefully that will be a big thing for your show. There'll be a lot of interesting people on it.
Well, Bonnie, I'm so appreciative for you being here. And let me just spell out your website address so people have it. It's BarrelHousebonnie.com. So I highly recommend everyone go out there and they visit your site, and that they go to stepsonoftheblues.com, order the book, order the CD, find out more of what Larry Hill Taylor and Bonnie McEwen are doing. And Bonnie, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. You see how fast 30 minutes goes so quick.
Wow, we could talk about this all day. Hopefully we've given folks something to think about, and I really appreciate you having me on the show, Teresa. Thank you.
You are welcome. It's been a pleasure, and you enjoy the rest of your day. I'm going to wrap the show up right now by playing Tell Me Baby by Larry Hill Taylor again. And Bonnie, you take great care of yourself, and thank you again for being on the program.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye now. All right, everyone, we were just listening to Bonnie. I'm going to play Larry's song. I appreciate you for tuning in. Don't forget to drop me an email at mailtobanks@aol.com. Click on that button at blogtalkradio.com/ellasex, spelled E-L-L-A-C-E-C, to make sure you become a follower of the show. Take good care of yourself. Veterans, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't say thank you enough for all you do. We love you. Everyone, enjoy Tell Me Baby by Larry Hill Taylor.
Tell me, baby, coming home. But you forgive me, darling. But you forgive me, darling. How many more years are you gonna wreck my life? Whoa, I came home this morning, baby. Whoa, you know my clothes were hanging out there. Are you gonna wreck my life?